Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, everyone. You know the guest of today's flashback episode from Two Broke Girls, At Midnight, The Female Brain, and her many comedy specials. Here's writer, director, actress, and producer Whitney Cummings.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Unqualified with your host, Anna Faris.
I do my own intros like an asshole. Whitney Cummings hails from Washington, D.C.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Slow it down.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Let's pretend that you're at, like, a voiceover audition. The job is very lucrative.
Okay.
And this is, like, a $3 million contract.
Okay.
Valtrex. For the next...
I'm trying to just get in the space of what I would get asked to do voiceover-wise.
Yeah. I love it that you went to Valtrex.
Just trying to be realistic. I know myself.
Okay, so Whitney, thanks so much for coming in to read for us.
My pleasure.
There's only like two other people that are up for this.
Oh.
So just read this before we give you the copy. Okay. Just read. Yeah, this is just a
is
bio
like a
about you.
Or,
just be yourself, you know? Just be yourself.
That doesn't work very well for me.
Just make sure you slow it down.
All okay. Right?
And action.
Whitney Cummings hails from Washington, D.C. She's an American stand-up comedian, actress, producer, writer, director, and podcaster. Her credits include one comedy album.
Can I stop you for just a second?
Of course.
Okay. Would you mind just emphasizing which thing you like the best?
Just put
a little heat into it.
Of course.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Can I take it just from the second sentence?
Totally.
Okay. She's an American stand-up comedian, actress, producer, writer, director, and podcaster. Her credits include one comedy album, four stand-up specials, three Comedy Central roasts, and numerous television series. Can I stop you for a second?
Sure, of course, Kim.
Where did you guys get this?
Your team.
Okay.
Just take it again. With a little more oomph.
Yeah. Her credits included one comedy album, four stand-up specials.
Okay. All right. Slow her down,
you know what?
Just a touch.
Got it.
Yep.
I'm getting in my head. Oomph and heat. I'm trying to do both.
Yeah.
And
just keep going.
They're not the same thing.
It's fine.
Three Comedy Central roasts and numerous television series in which she has served various roles, including producer, creator, director, showrunner, and actress.
That was great.
Thank you. Oh,
you guys
gosh.
Think that was great?
Thanks.
Was great. That was so great.
Thank
that
you.
Was so
That's really
great.
Nice.
You have a beautifully distinctive voice. You actually do.
I've been
Do you
in,
get recognized by your voice?
In airports, people go, I didn't think it was you until you started talking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their way of saying you look worse in person and your voice is grating and I can hear it from across the terminal.
I don't think that's what it is.
You have a very distinctive voice.
People make fun of me a lot for being like, oh, it's just
well, they love it. They love it. You
well,
have. Yeah, I know.
It
I was going to say.
Long
I was
going to say. In certain areas.
I feel like that voice is just like epic.
Yeah. Give me a good porn orgasm right off the bat.
You know what's crazy? I never have loud orgasms. They get really quiet, and I'm like, shut the fuck up. Everyone, shut up.
Yeah.
You shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, that makes complete sense. But
I
give
have
us
to focus.
Your loud fake one. I know. I totally hear you.
I don't even know how I would fake it. I've never done that before.
What? No. But you can act like you can. Come on. Oh, my God.
Wrong direction. Nick. I just wish girls could have orgasms the way guys do. Like they're puking. It always sounds like they're puking.
Isn't it sad that that's a feeling that we'll never know?
Bitch. What? We'll never know.
We'll
and you
never
know, what?
Know.
I love that you say that. And I'd always tried to write a bit about like if we understood, if we could do some VR machine or something to understand how much better sex feels for guys, I feel like we'd be so much more patient and compassionate.
Really?
Don't you think?
I think that we are the patient and compassionate gender.
Correct, but I've seen men throw away their families, their careers over having sex with like one person. I'm like, that must be incredible.
That's true.
Maybe I'm just having weak ass orgasms, or maybe my you know, Kegels are a little sloppy or something, but I always go, God, maybe we just don't know how great it is.
Of course we don't.
How
the fuck could we?
And we're like, how could you cheat on us? And they're like, if you knew how good it felt, you'd do it too.
That must feel incredible.
Because I'm like, maybe guys have so much more self-control and self-restraint. Maybe we don't even understand because it's so good.
Of course we don't.
Maybe we're the monsters here.
Whitney, I love where you're going with this, but why would you think that they have more self-control than
I don't believe that. At all, but I think that if in this magical devil's advocate world, yeah. I'm playing it, if orgasms felt like a billion times better than ours did,
right?
Maybe we just don't understand what they're up against in terms of their willpower.
I guess we do get the multiple factor, though.
Is that just like you have one and then you have another tiny one?
For me, I describe it like a wave set.
A wave set.
They come in like rows of like
so your,
five.
So your orgasms have like a stuttering problem.
No, like it's just like, here it comes again.
Really?
Here it comes again. I'm very blessed.
Was it always like that? This sounds like a disability.
No.
I don't think this is
what happens when you turn, after you turn 40. I'm 43 now. And I do think that there's like that wonderful thing of like, oh, I now have a bit of sexual liberation in a way that I didn't before.
Wow, because you were like nervous or insecure trying to perform in your head. Oh, wow.
100%.
Cool. Are you like one of those people that like has orgasms when they go horseback riding?
Oh my God, I'm having one right now. Can you give me 30 seconds?
Wait, man. Five in a row? That's like...
That's what happens like when you turn fucking 40.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now about... the state of feminist affairs or whatever it is.
I think everything that's happening is great. You know, it's a little white at the moment, you know? Things could just be improved in this moment.
Yeah.
I just remember going to the Women's March and there were no black women there. And I was like, this feels weird, you know? So I'm learning myself about Instagram feminism, about showing up and just going like, oh, we're doing the right thing, right? And then going like, oh, wait, where are we donating? Who are these people? Like, what's this actually changing law-wise? Who's actually making the decisions? Who's actually getting the money from all this?
Yeah.
I'm jumping around, but someone asked me recently, like, don't you think we should have a female James Bond? And I was like, no, I don't. Because if we remake James Bond with a woman, the guy that wrote it gets all the money. You know, the guy that wrote the song just makes more money. When you make a female version of a male movie, the men that made it just make more money. So to me, the more feminist, if you will, version of this is a woman creates her own character with her own merchandise, with her own song, and then she keeps all the money. I think there's a little bit of this performative stuff that I always want to get back to, like, okay, I think, how are we getting money in more pockets? Because that's what actually can change women's lives.
Yeah.
There's this thing where being asked to do panels, women's empowerment panels, yeah. Which is like, why aren't we getting paid for these?
Right.
I am in this weird place where I'm like, women's empowerment panel, am I truly empowered if it takes up my whole day and I don't ask for money and I don't get paid? You know what I mean?
Right.
But I obviously want to share whatever I know, but it's also like, I'm empowered, so I have to go back to work.
Right.
Tuesday at 2:15? How are all these showrunners on this panel? Like, aren't we all in production? Like, how do we have time? Don't you guys know that we're working? You of all people. Because then it's like, we finally gave women jobs. They're not running the shows because they're doing panels all the time.
Hi, I have a question for Whitney.
Hi.
Whitney, yeah. I am such a huge fan
Thank
of
you.
Yours. And congratulations on, like, I mean, you're such an inspiration. You're a showrunner. You're a comedian. You're beautiful. You're an actress. And you've been, like, such a huge inspiration to me. I'm just wondering, like, if your boss wants to fuck you, what exactly do you say? Like, I just want to know.
Where do you work?
I work at a packaging company. I can't really tell you which one. And it's a great job.
Yeah.
But
clearly.
But when, I don't know, like I would, sometimes I'd rather like eat my tuna fish sandwich than fuck my boss during lunch break. So I just want, I'm wondering if there's any advice you could give me.
God, this is so fucked up. I would say, go talk to HR. Sue that motherfucker, get paid, get a house in Raleigh, Durham, and do your thing.
So that's what I should do?
I mean...
Can I talk to your HR?
My HR is too busy.
Do you have a lawyer?
They're around the clock managing my lawsuits from doing podcasts. Yeah, I know. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, we're retweeting, we're posting, but like, my thing is like, where are you donating? And like, what are you doing? I asked my agency like, hey, can you bring me like three... writers that aren't getting seen because they're either female or, you know, something other than white guy, bring to me and I'll help get them produced. And so I've been doing that.
Can I submit myself as well?
I'm at capacity. I'm sorry.
You're like the multi-hyphenate. What is your favorite job?
Stand-up comedy.
Why? I have my own theories.
I love acting in TV shows. I love being a part of a family. I love going and seeing the same faces every day and like dressing up in costumes and making each other laugh. Like being on a TV show is like having the family I never had, you know? Even the fights and the people that don't get along, you know, it's just like a weird support system that just feels so, I get high off of that. And it's like having a family, but everyone's like legally obligated to stay. No one's allowed to leave. It's like my dream, like to have trapped the people that I love in a building with hair and makeup. It's like all I ever wanted, and to document every second of it. So I love that so much. But I also, the TV business, you know, it's you're going to get your heart broken and you're going to have one bad apple ruin it for everyone. And you're going to have all these like really unfair situations and egos and, you know, mental illnesses.
Wouldn't you love it less if you were not in charge?
It depends on who was in charge.
Right.
But you know, it's like when you're the boss, it's like everyone's going to sort of resent you on some level.
Right.
And everyone, and if something goes wrong, it's your fault, you know, and everyone turns you into their mother and like something. Everyone's projecting shit onto you.
Oh my
and,
God, I so want to suddenly be a 13-year-old that's on a new show of yours.
Okay.
Hey, Whitney.
Hi.
Hi. I just had a quick question for you.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. Hey, so when the thing that I don't love about that line in the sea scene in the kitchen, you know, what I really don't like about it is that I just don't feel like it speaks to me and who I am. And I think my mom would agree. She's in my dressing room, but I wanted to talk to you privately at first. And it's that line about the oatmeal. And I just don't know if it's like who I would be because I'm supposed to be a prodigy.
Okay, I hear you. Do you want to give it a shot? Like, do you want to just try it? Let's just see it on its feet.
I kind of don't want to because truthfully, I've always felt like, I mean, I'm gluten-free. My character's gluten-free. I just don't know if anything is feeling quite right in
that
scene.
Well, we can do like a gluten-free oatmeal muffin. How about that?
A muffin? But I just don't know if like my mom bakes or like, or did I make the muffin?
She could have bought it. It could have.
So like, she went out early that morning.
You know, I feel like if we just go
out. Even though she comes into my bedroom and she's like, wake up, and she's in her pajamas still. Like, are they freshly baked or did she get them the night before?
She could have bought them the night before. How about that? Great.
She bought them the night before.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm supposed to take a Raisin Bran muffin to school.
Do you want to just give it a shot and see if the joke gets a laugh? And if it does,
no,
then
not really. Because the thing is that I always want to be like super true.
Super true?
Yeah, to like who we are. And I know that you've always been that way. Like you've always been like, oh, we have to like.
How about we fire you? This is really bringing up old shit for me.
I'm sorry.
But it's so true. Because I'm trying. That's all you can do is just be like, okay, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I guess I just have to listen. I guess I'm just going to process what you're saying.
Do you need a blanket?
But you have to be stern, too. You just have to be like, no. You also have to do that.
Nobody says no to me.
To you. No, they shan't. No one. But you don't ask for crazy things. You're so reasonable and sane.
Oh, wow.
What do you think is the craziest thing you've asked for?
A hot air balloon with sushi in it.
On a woman's naked body.
Ooh, shit.
Do you remember there were sushi restaurants with women had sushi on their bodies?
I mean, I remember that from Sex and the City.
Yes!
I grew up in Washington State, and we have
Spokane?
Coffee stands.
Oh, with the topless girls.
Yes.
I've been to one.
There's a ton of them.
They're in bikinis.
Yeah. Yes, and there are topless ones, though, too.
I almost moved to Portland.
Why?
Yeah, it's a weird thing to throw out there. I was thinking about it. I was dating someone that lived in Portland, and I almost moved there, and I didn't. That's all I have to say about up north.
You know, the kind of a conversation starter is difficult.
It's
because
just,
then
there's
where
nowhere
do I
to
go?
Go. There's nowhere
do
to
I
go.
Do I ask you, do you regret it?
It was, I forgot we were podcasting for a second. No, I was just, my clock was ticking, and I panicked, and I was like, I guess I have to move to Portland.
And then you didn't.
And then I didn't.
I like it that you actually didn't do it, though.
Me too.
Because I think that there's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves to either follow our man or follow love, or as opposed to, you know,
yeah, I'm good at long distance. Like, I actually really like a long distance relationship because I need a lot of time to restore myself. And so I've done really well in long distance relationships, but then sometimes you're there for more than 4 days and you're just like, oh my God, you're so boring.
But don't you
like, I kind of made up this relationship in my head.
There's a loneliness, though, of course. You're on the road all the time. The idea of like having your suitcase out and like picking up bars of soap and unwrapping them.
And makes me want to cry. I check luggage. I know I'm in the minority. I've actually gotten in screaming fighting matches with boyfriends in airports because they're like, who the fuck checks luggage? Like, for a 2-day trip, I always bring my wash, my scrub, my exfoliating mitt, you name it, I bring it. I like turn the hotel room into my home.
Who's this dick boyfriend?
Oh, have you not had guys get mad at you for checking luggage before?
Fuck no.
Really? That was like a really universal thing.
No.
I have a type. I went to Thailand for like 8 days. I was like, I'm fucking checking luggage. And he's like, I got a fucking East Pack. That's all I'm taking. That to me is how you can decide any relationship, whether it's going to work or not. You have to have the same travel regimen.
I don't like these dudes.
I've dated a lot of guys that are like, you know, really like, you know, obsessive type people. And I think a lot of people take pride in like not checking luggage.
A lot of stand-ups? Do you mind my asking?
Never dated a stand-up in my life. Isn't that weird? They always feel like brothers to me right away.
Right.
It's like, feels like incest.
Right.
Bobby Lee and I one time were on the road and he's like, let's just see if you can like touch my dick. And we could not stop laughing. Couldn't do it.
That is
yeah.
funny and disturbing. And yeah. now it's seared into my brain.
I'm so sorry for this
no,
image.
No.
Never dated a stand-up. I think I have some kind of like self-preservation instinct to not shit where I eat.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's just like I'm here
especially
every night.
Especially with stand-ups. Like, because it is a solitary and very public forum. And artistry, like, it's something that I admire so much, but I
You're
also
You're so good
don't
at it. We did your live podcast that time, and you were really good.
Thanks, but I wasn't doing stand-up at all.
I know, but you were just being extemporaneously funny, and I think that most stand-up, it is jokes, yes, but it is also, like, the people that have figured out a way to be the most radically, like, truthful and self-aware and authentic, because the audience can smell bullshit if you're just telling jokes that you don't believe or don't have real opinions. People now especially respond to authenticity, and you are already kind of there.
Do you think that was there's an evolution with that?
Is
that
the stand-up? For sure. It used to just be like, who's going to tell the best jokes? Now it has to be your jokes match your essence.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think that because people can find jokes anywhere now, on YouTube, on Instagram. Every night is 8 talk shows doing stand-up. People are hilarious on Twitter now, memes. Comedy's everywhere. By the time someone goes and sees stand-up, they've already seen so much comedy all day on their phone that you now have to bring something above just jokes.
Fuck.
I know. You have to be vulnerable. You have to tell a secret. You have to tell a story.
Oh, shit. That's so interesting.
I know. It's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, you finally figure out how to do your job and then the rules change.
Your recognition of that is brilliant.
You start to feel it. You start to feel like all of a sudden something that was really funny, it just in terms of a comedy style 2 years ago, now feels a little bit like hokey or false.
Right.
People don't want a performance.
Right.
They want to feel like they're experiencing something that no one else is experiencing live.
God, that's fucking fascinating.
And people, I've even noticed in the last 2 years because of podcasts and Instagram and stuff, people will participate in the show. People will ask questions.
Really?
They'll be like, how's Anna? What's she like? They'll ask, you know, what's Rogan like? Like, people want to participate. I don't know if it's because of the engagement on Instagram and responding in comments or just hearing people, you know, with podcasts now. I mean, someone who's listened to your show, how many hours have they spent with you? Hundreds?
I don't know.
If someone is loyal to your podcast and they see you in person, they know you. You're friends with them.
That is an amazing point that you brought up, because sometimes I will have people come up to me that have listened to the podcast and they don't want a selfie. There's this feeling of secrecy. Like, hey, I'm a big fan of your podcast. Like, I don't want to make a thing of it. So you're right.
I know more about you than you know about you.
Right.
That's the thing, is that if you listen to my podcast, you know that I don't want someone to come grab me and take a picture with me in public. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you know any, when someone's like, big fan, will you record my voice memo from my phone? And I'm like, are you sure you're a big fan? Because if you knew me, if you truly were a fan, you would know that that's my nightmare. But I also think that there's a little bit of like, I had this weird security thing where someone just felt so entitled to me because right. they're like, well, I've listened to you for 100 hours. Right. I've watched all your shows. I've bought your stuff. Like, the least you could do is like, give me a hug and take a picture. You know, like, there's also that too, where I'm like, oh gosh, there is this thing now where people that consume so much of us, like, what do I owe them? You know? So I'm the one in the airport that's like taking 9 photos and like, you know, calling friends and FaceTiming moms, and, you know, so it's just like this weird new exchange.
Do you think that you should make a small list of people who might kill you in case you do get murdered?
I have one.
I can't believe I didn't even have to finish my question.
Sorry.
You're already there.
It's interesting because anyone who's dealing with like harassment online or death threats, like the security person said something interesting, which is the person that's going to kill you isn't going to give you a heads up. It's like, don't make decisions based on this advice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So don't worry about death threats. And I was like, okay, I'm more worried in some ways and also less worried because death threats, you're like, oh, well, this person is going to try to kill me. You know, and they're like, oh, no. The people that actually do it never give a warning.
Who is this expert that's saying that, by the way?
This guy at Sunglasses Hut talking to. He's smart. He's a really smart dude.
Don't bother making a list.
Yeah, and after his death threat, we just started, like, talking. And, you know, it was just like...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Like if someone's creepy or gives you a bad vibe, you're always like, oh, I'm probably being sensitive. Or always, you know, we always want to override our gut instinct, but our gut instinct always knows the truth about people. You know, whenever you have a bad business deal, a bad relationship, you're like, I knew it. I always knew it. I knew it from the beginning. My gut told me, and I ignored my gut.
Yeah. How would you murder somebody?
That's a good question. I think I would try to, I would just poison someone. You always take the risk that it's not going to work, but I think I would try to just go for poison.
Okay.
What would you do?
I don't know. I was thinking like...
Like, I've given this a lot of thought.
There isn't actually anybody that I want to kill yet.
I have pictured running over people by accident.
Oh,
on purpose, accident.
Oh,
purpose.
Backing up or
forwarding on?
Forwarding.
Yeah, I've thought about that.
What kind of car do you have?
A truck.
Oh, okay.
I think I could do it.
All right.
It'd be hard, but you know.
Yeah.
But I have thought about it.
All right. It's hard in LA to run somebody.
It's you can't get above 50 miles an hour.
So you do have a truck.
Yeah, I know. I'd have to get them at a weird time.
What about like? Sleeping bag suffocation.
That is like 3 minutes of intense cardiovascular exercise to get them to actually die. They're going to be fighting for their life. They're going to be They're going to be super strong. They're going to have superhuman strength because the adrenaline's going to kick in.
Shit.
And I might start laughing. You know, you might lose your grip.
All right.
A lot of people do that pillow thing. I don't know how people do it.
Ugh.
I sleep with a pillow over my head every night, and I can breathe right through it.
Why do you do that?
Because I don't like noise or light, so I sleep with a pillow over my head.
Why don't you have, like, a mask?
I do. I have noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, you have a whole thing.
I have a whole thing.
I'm kind of bored.
My sleeping
is... I'm sorry. I mean, I love sleep talk.
Yeah, no, I hate it when people talk about that shit. I know a lot of people that do...
Tell me also about your drive here.
Wait, so how would you kill someone?
Oh,
it's a hard one.
I know.
Apparently drinking gold kills people.
Oh.
Ooh, you know what you could do? You could find out what someone's allergic to. Release like bees on them. No? Okay.
I don't know if there's a cliff pushing element.
I think that's a good one.
Thank you.
They get to see beautiful scenery on their way down.
It's like, let's go for a hike.
It's a very, you better make sure they don't grab your hand on the way down.
Shit. I didn't think about that.
That's the other thing. You got to be very precise.
Okay, I'm going to say, oh, yeah, look. It's crazy, that view off the cliff.
Beautiful.
Just go look.
Okay.
Just go look. She fell. Everyone knows that Whitney's been a risk taker. Like,
Everyone knows about
her. She was like, oh, I need, like, I'm so self-absorbed. I need a selfie right by the cliff. Woo!
You know, 259 people have died from taking selfies.
That's it?
Great answer. Best answer I've heard so far. There is a video of a guy who was trying to take a selfie with a bear, and the bear ate him, and I'm sorry that I'm laughing. It's just so Darwin Awards.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's like the new dumb way that people are going to be dying.
Maybe it's the new hip way.
You can't be so judgmental, it's true, Whitney.
You're right. I'm a monster. Why am I such a dickhead?
I don't know.
I don't know, but you always have been. As long as it posted on the way down and I got some likes.
Will you tell us about your something weird?
This is a book that I ordered because I bought a new house and I had all these bookshelves. So I went and I wanted to order a bunch of vintage books. And one of the vintage books I ordered is a self-help book from the 50s called Sex and the Office.
Ooh, how do we navigate the workplace, Whitney?
Yeah. Do I tell people if I was fired? You do not, frankly, tell people anything of the kind. Though your tendency is to announce your injury like a wounded child, this is not smart. The minute you tell a handsome stranger at a cocktail party you were canned, a veiled, hooded look comes into his eyes. Someone out there doesn't want you. He isn't sure he does either. Be honest with close friends, but evade or lie publicly.
I love it that after she's been fired, she's going to a cocktail party and she's like, no, I wasn't fired.
Oh my God. Why can't you, by being a dear, sweet, good little girl and wearing dirt repellent miracle fabrics, just lie down and let office politics wash over you.
Oh, that's kind of hot.
It is kind of hot and weird and patronizing, but this was feminist at the time. How sexy can you look in an office and still be appropriately dressed? Or never mind being appropriately dressed. How sexy can you look and still further your career? Lovely as cleavage is, we don't want it or them spoiling your chances to succeed. Don't scoff, one executive I know. Maybe speaking for many when he says that he loves seeing acres of raw bosoms on the stage or at cocktail parties, but across a crowded desk, he gets that, quote, wet flounder feeling. I don't know what any of this even means.
Wait, yes, Whitney, I felt like I just got like eight opposing messages. Like, what?
None of it makes any
sense. We're not supposed to dress sexy, but then we're supposed to, but kind of, but then not from across the room. Like, what?
It's all, this was feminist.
Did we bring a Pashima?
Pashmina? Remember Pashminas? And then there's a whole thing about how to fuck at the office.
Oh, how was that?
The bone china. What's bone china again?
Whitney.
This is a whole thing about how to give out bone
it's
china.
Your book.
Yeah. My sexist
how to give
book.
Out bone china.
The whole thing about how to succeed at the office party is to hand out like saucers to all the men.
God, this what? Is so crazy.
That's wild.
It's weird. You're neurotic. This is a chapter. Is your ego so shaky that when somebody says a coworker did a sensational job, you can feel the spikes being driven into your ribs? Do you feel that other people's hate, jealousy, tenderness towards others in the room before the other feels it himself? Overly sensitive people do succeed in business. You can sense exactly what a boss needs before he needs it. This also makes you a great lover. But as I said, we have to wait a bit for that discussion. There's a whole thing about how to fuck your boss and further your career. It's crazy because she's kind of shaming women for being sexy and sensitive, but saying, but those qualities can also help you.
This is a very confusing.
It's very confusing.
Like, I sort of love her and I hate her at the same time. It's confusing to me.
The popular version of why married men pounce on girls at the office is they are lecherous, spoiled, neurotic, treacherous, lascivious, selfish, undisciplined, lustful, and immoral. I think they do it because they enjoy it. Some men are all those adjectives, but to be sure, many are not. What are you saying? Say something. I have yet to actually learn anything. There are men who, if there isn't anything else around to chase, will chase and eat their own tails like the live lobsters do when they're shipped from Maine to California without enough ice. So specific. More often, however, I think married men become involved with girls at the office because men are human. Can any attractive man really go through life attracted to just one woman when he waves and waves and waves of lovely girls continue to wash up against him every year at work? We keep pretending he can, but I don't think so.
I feel like she was like microdosing. Don't you think?
Lithium or something at the
top. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a little all over the place. But I don't.
Some men do stay faithful to their wives, but the reason doesn't have much to do with their desiring only one woman. Some men stay faithful more than others because they are not powerfully sexed. What does this mean?
Powerfully sexed?
The factory was kind of shut down in childhood by too many parental don'ts and mustn'ts and naughty naughties. So they married a girl who was undersexed by the same influences and lived happily, unsexily ever after. I think this is interesting because all self-help today, I feel like in 20 years, is going to sound like this.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Like, it's going to be as outdated as this shit. There was a whole chapter on how to have afternoon delights at work.
I can't tell. She's giving very conflicting advice.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Some girls don't believe in sprucing an office or their cubicle. They feel it reveals a nesting instinct. What's wrong with the nesting instinct? You're a girl, and you spend your daylight hours in your office more than any place else, so of course you want it to be homing. You'll be entertaining men there, too. What does that mean? Fucking them? What's happening?
Did she use the word cubicle?
Yes, cubicle.
Mm-hmm.
Teeth. If you can't brush your teeth after every meal, use dental floss. Once you finally acquire the habit of either brushing or using dental floss after you've eaten something, you'll wonder how ever you stood by yourself. This is telling women to brush their teeth. I found this entertaining.
Yeah, but it is confusing. It's like, do we fuck the boss or not fuck the boss? It's very confusing.
There's still another totally different kind of sex connected to offices, however, that we haven't dealt with. In fact, it's an institution. You don't actually participate in it or have dealings with the institution, but some of the men in your office may. I assume anything which concerns them could concern you.
There's what?
This is about hookers at work.
Hookers at work?
This is about hookers at work. Yeah. Well, a boss doesn't need to badger you because there are these girls from the institution who are his for the selecting.
Oh my God.
And who have no inhibitions whatsoever. They're rather costly, but that's no reason for him to economize by trying to use you. Listen, if you're having even a scrap of trouble with any man in the office expecting you to do things you don't feel like doing for him or anybody else, I suggest you put this book under his nose, open to this chapter, so that he'll know, you know, there's another way out. Helen Gurley Brown, laying that shit down. I love this shit so much.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So we're going to call some people that have submitted questions.
Can't wait.
Okay. Here we go.
Hello?
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi, it's Anna.
Hi, Anna. It's so nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for doing this. And I'm here with Whitney Cummings.
Hey. Oh my gosh. Hi, Whitney.
How are you, Donna?
Hi, I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for doing this.
Will you tell us what's going on?
So my situation is I have been with my boyfriend for 3 years this Christmas Eve. We've lived together for about a year and a half. We get along like really great, everything. He's 30 and I'm 29. And I feel like I'm ready for the next step in our relationship. I'm ready to get engaged and, you know, in the near future, get married and have a family and that sort of thing. And every time we've discussed it, he kind of shuts down and I'm not ready. What's the rush? You know, that kind of thing. And I've noticed it's starting to kind of cause a resentment in me towards him. I've been less patient with him and snap at things that I never normally would. And I feel like it's because we can't get on that same page of I'm really ready to move forward. I just feel so stuck.
But I do wonder if societal pressure to get married and have kids, if that's sort of weighing on you. And are you feeling pressure from your family at all?
Yes and no. I feel like they definitely want to see, you know, somebody that's willing to like commit to me fully and stuff. But then at the same time, they want me to be happy and be with someone, you know, that's also happy. And I can tell that a lot of my family really just wants whatever's best for me. But then there definitely is family and friend and outside, you know, like you said, that societal pressure of like almost devaluing our relationship because it doesn't have that title of marriage. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Donna, can I ask you a crazy question?
Yeah.
What's going on with him financially? Would you describe him as financially secure?
Yeah, he's an electrical engineer. He's very finance savvy. We live in New York, so, you know, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
And he lived at home until he moved in with me. He saved. He got a good job. He was an engineer when I met him. But I am his first real relationship, though. I am his first, well, everything.
I'm not taking his side. I'm not, like, all your emotions are valid, and I've been in this situation, and I don't wish it on anyone because it is so frustrating and clear to you, especially if you know this is it. You're just like, I know how the story's going to end. Why don't we just, like, you know, expedite it?
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people forget that for men, it seems like he's already married to you in his head. It seems like he's already committed to you, but there's a big financial burden that I'm sure he's having to sit with. Like, I have so many male friends who are like, I want to marry this person. I just want to do it right. And I just need a couple more years to save some money so that the resentment doesn't switch the other way.
Yeah.
You've got what you wanted, but then he's secretly resentful of you because he's going paycheck to paycheck because he spent money on a ring that he doesn't understand why it couldn't have just waited a couple years, you know? So
yeah.
I always just try to, like, put myself in the shoes of the other person, because if he does something before he's ready.
You're so much more generous than I am right now, Whitney.
Well, I'm just saying, I think a lot of times for us, it's so obvious, but I think a lot of men, the kind of men that I think you do want to be with, don't like to be told what to do or when to do it, you know? So it's this,
yeah,
it's this weird thing where when you start putting pressure on, they then recoil and then have to reset until it's officially their idea again.
Donna, does your boyfriend make you happy? Like, fundamentally?
Yes. Definitely. He's the person I want to tell everything and I want to just spend time with. Not so much always in that puppy love honeymoon phase, but like that true, deep, eternal happiness.
And what does he say when you're like, well, I would like to get married soon, or I'd like to be engaged soon? What does he say? What's his defense?
He kind of says a mixture of what both of you have been saying. He'll say, like, I just don't see what the rush is. And I'll be like, no, I'm not trying to rush you. I'm just saying I want us to have this next level of commitment and I'm ready for this and I want this. And he'll say things just like, I'm going to marry you one day. And I'm like, that's cute. But we're also not like 16. Kind of like, okay, could one day be like in the next few years? Or like, are we just going to, you know, keep doing this? I also kind of feel like with him wanting to live with me and have this committed relationship, it's almost like, but why do you keep the one foot out the door?
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes, and maybe of course.
How long has it been? You've been for 2 years together?
3 years this Christmas. And we've lived together almost 2 years.
I think I just have so many guy friends that love their girlfriends so much and really want to be with them and mean it when they say that. But they're just like, oh God, but this is going to cost 15. Let me just save up more money so that I can actually afford this thing. You know, sometimes it is financial for people and we think it's, you know, personal. You clearly don't want to poison the relationships with your expectations or rushing it, but it also seems clear this is like something you want. But I do think you don't want it under the circumstances where he's resentful and feels forced and you feel like he only did it because you forced his hand.
I also think that women or men get sort of pressured into the idea of locking into a commitment. Like, our parents want us to feel secure. We're supposed to have babies or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of fighting against that inclination. So you have a sense of freedom to do exactly what you want to do. And it sounds like you love your partner. And I love that. But I also don't want you to fall into the idea of like, oh, I must do this because this is like, I'm at the age where I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get the age mm-hmm. where I'm supposed to do that, because that's what I grew up with.
You can also have an honest conversation of saying exactly what she's saying, going, I don't even really know why I feel like I need this right now. Maybe this is just social pressure. I don't want to force you. Pose the question to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this just like this superficial timeline that we're socially constructed to believe we need to follow as women? Maybe it's a familial thing, but I'm feeling this anxiety.
That is great.
Just ask
advice.
Him, and he might go, oh my God. And I'm feeling all this financial pressure or all this pressure from my friends to not, because they're in miserable marriages. openly talk about your fears.
Right.
Because I think our relationships are only as sick as the secrets we keep in them. Just don't discount all the good things he's done because he hasn't done this one other thing.
Yeah. Yes, that's so true. Thank you. Thank you both so much. And I will
Donna's like, I got to go.
No, my God, no.
Okay, guys, no, seriously, I got to run.
Yeah, you're like, thanks, Lex.
Thanks, Donna.
Thanks, Donna. Please be in touch. If you don't, I'll be mad and you don't want to see me when I'm mad.
Okay. No, I don't. I do not.
All right. I love you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, ladies. I love you both.
I mean, gave great advice.
I don't think I'm very big on like, leave him alone. Just give him time to figure it out. I feel like forcing someone to propose never has gone well for anyone.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hi, it's Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, I'm here with Whitney Cummings. Will you tell us what's going on?
I am currently in my first big girl relationship. I've always had a tendency to date people where I don't really see anything with them in the future. This is the one relationship I've been in where I feel like it's going really well, and I feel like he respects me, and he's a feminist, and he's so smart, and he makes me laugh. It's just really easy for the most part, but there's just one thing I don't know how to deal with, mainly in our sex life, and it's kind of embarrassing, but he doesn't, I don't know how to say this in a classy way, he doesn't go down on me, except maybe, like, I think like 3 times.
How long have you been together?
Like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
The only time he's done it is when he's like super blacked out drunk. So naturally I think, oh, there's something wrong with me that I need to fix. If I bring it up, he starts talking really fast. And he gets really nervous and then he just switches the subject. And it's clear he feels like I'm attacking him and he gets super uncomfortable. And on one end, I'm like, okay, well, it's not that big of a deal. I should just let it go. But on the other hand, it's like I go down on him all the time and feel like it's a matter of respect. Like, well, I do it for you. Why don't you do it for me? And then I think if a guy tried pressuring me into something I wasn't comfortable with, well, he'd be an asshole.
Can I ask you something, Rebecca? This is since we're just going for it here. Is it something you enjoy and is it something you think he's good at?
It's something I enjoy and I've enjoyed with previous partners. Is it something that he's good at? No, but I don't know if he's committed to giving it the old college try. One time he did it because we just got out of a fight and he thought we were going to break up. So I think it was just like his way of throwing the hat back in the ring to like reel me in again.
I was going to ask you if it just makes him insecure that he doesn't know like his way around. But you just said something that gives me a little bit of pause. It's either that he's very insecure about going down on you and giving you pleasure because he doesn't quite know how, or he is not as invested in your relationship as you are.
Yeah.
The one thing I do think that gets dangerous in relationship is keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I definitely did that for a long time where it's like, I did this for you and now you do this for me. Like he might, like Anna said, not be so good at it. It makes him embarrassed and feel insecure, you know?
Yeah. And I also don't want to pressure him into anything. But I also like it, and I miss that happening. Before I started dating him, I was dating a girl, and obviously the sex life between two women is going to differ between a sex life between a heterosexual couple.
Oh, yeah, he's so intimidated. He doesn't want to follow her.
Yeah.
He totally doesn't want to. Oh, that's 100%
it. Yes.
He's intimidated, I feel like.
I bet you're right. It's so vulnerable to go down on anybody.
You've also said you don't do this enough, so he's already in this, like, insecure. Like, I know that when somebody wants something of me or tells me I'm not doing something enough, then I don't want to do it because I'm like, well, they're going to think I'm only doing it because they told me to. And then you just get stuck in this weird performance anxiety thing. Is the sex good without this?
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, it wasn't. It took a lot of work.
This is what you've left out.
Yep, yeah.
So you've been giving him notes on fucking from the beginning.
Not like full on notes, but like pointers. But now it's really good.
Did you guys talk about the sex?
We had a review. I mean, just like a breakdown after each one.
I think he's intimidated. I think he's completely You know when you like get told to do so many things, then you just start doubting yourself. And I think he's afraid of failing.
Yeah.
Because you're in this, I love this about you and I admire this about you. You're so self-actualized and you're so clear about what you want and you give feedback and you won't accept anything less. Mm-hmm. But I think after a while that becomes intimidating to someone. And I'm not blaming you. This isn't your fault. Yes, in an ideal world, he can take it and he can handle it. But I think with something as vulnerable as sex, his pride might be a little bit bruised.
Yeah.
He's following a woman that you were with, and you already told him he wasn't so great at sex before. He might just feel like he's getting too many notes.
Rebecca, if you do believe in this relationship, I think that you just tell him like everything that feels really good. I think be specific, which is hard for women. I think we're not necessarily taught that, like, you know, put your finger in me or like lick right there or whatever. I think being specific is strong and probably would make him feel good too.
Positive reinforcement.
Yeah. And maybe you could also even start it out when you guys are enjoying each other. You could ask what feels good for him. And then you can have like the exchange of the actual communication, which we're not taught to do in our society. We're not taught to ask what feels good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you could do that with him. And even if you already know what you're doing makes him feel good, clearly, but it will make him feel safe to ask you those same questions.
I also have bad news for you, Rebecca.
Oh, fuck, Whitney.
There is a strong chance that you're going to live your life with guys that are not as good at going down on you as that girl. that is also just you might need to lower your expectations a little bit if you've been with a woman.
Right.
It might always be a struggle.
But I do think that open communication, if you can say like, this feels really good and I really like this.
I think he already knows though. He already knows what he needs to do.
Yeah.
And he's not doing it, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you say you've told him you want him to do this, he just won't do it?
Yeah, like I said, he gets really nervous.
Yeah, he's fucking terrified. He's terrified.
Really sweet, that means he loves you. So just guide him.
He's terrified.
Guide him.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. I feel enlightened.
Oh.
And attacked at the same time.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, Rebecca. Fuck.
No, but I think he's scared. If he didn't want to be with you, he'd leave. He's coming back and he's trying. And he already did everything he needed to do to get better at sex. Like, he's obviously trying to make this work. I think he's just scared.
Yeah.
And yelling at scared people never makes them less scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a gentle head guidance. That would be my solution.
I'm awful. I'm awful.
Hey, Rebecca, thank you so much. Please be in touch.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I can't thank you enough for being here.
I love our friendship because I feel like we don't know each other that well, but we're close and we understand each other. I love you. I'll do anything for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Like murder?
Yes, I already explained that to you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and I'll do anything for you as well as murder.
Okay, no, I don't. I want to do it myself. I want to do my own murder. What? I'm a control freak.
Come on.
I would never hire anyone to do my murders for me. I don't think you're that good at murder. No offense.
What? Whitney.
I don't. You want them to back off a cliff on their own.
Listen, all right.
You're a lazy murderer. I don't trust anyone who can like cook up a murder too quickly.
I can't thank you enough for being here.
I love you.
I love you too.
Bye, guys.